Hey, and welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live on this fateful date that's been etched in our minds, 9/11. This happens to be 9/11/2020, of course. And it hit me last night. By Jove, tomorrow's 9/11. And I couldn't help but try and get a hold of Dr. Judy Wood to almost beg, but ask to have her on the show today. And she so graciously said yes. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Judy Wood to the show. She, of course, is the author of Where Did the Powers Go? And that's evidence of free energy being harnessed as a weapon on 9/11/01, 19 years ago. Next year is the 20th anniversary. How you doing, Dr. Wood?
Great. How are you?
I'm mighty fine here in Michigan. Things have cooled off. I was in California recently where it was 115 degrees, so...
It's been hot here for a bit, too.
This 68-degree stuff seems really cool. Are you in South Carolina or elsewhere?
Yeah, we've just gotten some relief from the real hot air.
Yeah, well, speaking of hot air, we're going to
be... Yeah, I turned off the radio.
We're going to be getting a lot of it, of course, in the days and weeks and year ahead between now, the 19th anniversary of 9/11, and next year, the 20th. And it's going to be more propaganda. Much of it, of course, is just to uphold the government narrative to keep us in a state of fear and perpetual anxiety and never solving problems, kind of suspended animation intellectually and whatnot. But I've always been fascinated by your book, Where Did the Towers Go? I think it's a very definitive book in terms of describing the evidence of what happened, the operative word being what happened, the most important in the chain of solving this thing, in the deductive chain.
Excellent.
I think Sherlock Holmes would agree. And that's what we're missing in our country is the spirit of Sherlock Holmes, in my opinion. But Judy, I'll just call you Judy. The situation here, we now have the first people that were born on around that time. They're now just coming to the age to where they're going to vote. Those that were born around 9/11, 2001, give or take a little. And so it's a very pivotal time. We're almost to the 20th year. Where are we? I know you told me off the air before we went on, as we just got caught up on things, that there's a study in Alaska that you're not too keen on. Well, we could start there, but go ahead and just where are we at with 9/11? What do you think could be done between now and the 20th year to bring things, more to light in a truthful manner? And begin to push towards solving this thing in a real, tangible way.
It really is solved, but what keeps it from being solved is this nonsense of people don't want you to look at what happened. That's in common with everything going on. If they get you to look past what happened, argue about how or who or why or whatever, then you make an assumption of what happened in order to continue in the argument. You don't go back and look at what happened. And you can't ever solve the problem unless you determine what happened first. I've got an example from March 31st this year in the Washington Post. Let me read it. It's a paragraph in an opinion piece by Bill Gates.
Oh.
Referring to recent events in the news. He said, first, we need a consistent nationwide approach to shutting down. Despite urging from the public health experts, some states and counties haven't shut down completely. In some states, beaches are still open, and others, restaurants still serve sit-down meals. Get them. So what's he doing there? He's getting you to focus on bad behavior, not shutting down. And what caused you to do that? What does it cause you to do? Is to assume that shutting down is the right answer.
That's true. There's a big presupposition there.
Yep. And that was just, it jumped out at me. That was a perfect example of this. And this is how the PSYOPs work. And they get people to just take on all of these assumptions. There was never any pro-con study as to, what are the pros and cons of shutting down or not shutting down and so forth.
So true. There's such a shutting out of dissident opinion and alternative opinions in a country that claims to be pluralist in its nature and multicultural and democratic there's a one world narrative for coronavirus. There's a one world narrative for 9/11. Thou shalt be in fear. Thou shalt believe the conventional story. Don't ask too many questions. And as you say, don't ever explore anything. Just listen.
Yeah, don't think.
Right.
And think about what 9/11 did. You know, if everyone out there would just stop and think, if 9/11 hadn't happened, would people have been so gullible to go for the shutdown, to, you know, comply, and lose their business and all? What first hit me about this shutdown nonsense is, you know, I usually like to shop at Walmart at midnight. Mm-hmm. You don't get run over by grocery carts, and there's few people in the store, and you can get your shopping done pretty quickly.
Right.
Well, they went from 24 hours a day to 12 hours a day. And then they shut down the mom-and-pop shops, so you're forced to shop in this big store in a more crowded environment. Does that make sense? What is the logic behind that?
You know, with fewer stores to go to, then the static number of people will go to those few stores that are open, ergo they'll be more crowded, right?
And they also reduce the hours in half.
Yes.
So that right away was pretty bizarre. Why are they cutting down the mom and pop shops? You're exposed to fewer people in those. And unless they want people just to shop at big box stores so the government can control them or something, but it's just, you know, look at the logic. It doesn't make sense. And I think that's important to do if you don't have any more facts. Does the logic add up?
Well, certainly true. And yeah, I think there is a definite PSYOP connection between 9/11 and this coronavirus mm-hmm. thing. Like with 9/11, people really don't zero in on exactly what this is all about. We hear stories about, you know, China virus. We hear a lab here, a lab there, here a lab, there a lab, everywhere a lab. And
yeah, viruses are viruses. They're going to be out there. You know, hiding in your house doesn't change anything. As soon as you go out, then the virus is there, no matter if you stay in your house 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. You know, it might dwindle with time, but it you know, and on the contrary, getting, you know, kids in elementary schools, I like to bring up the term snot-nosed kids for reasons. That's where they pass around viruses and they develop their immune system for life. And they get every bug in the book. If they don't develop their immune system, by the time they're 50 or 60 and they get that virus, they're going to be a lot sicker. So the elementary schools, you know, why close them? Why close colleges and send them home to their grandparents? But anyway, that's, you know, the logic, it failed the logic check early on. But this thing about the Halsey report, you know, again, they didn't look at what happened.
No, report is this? Clarify.
Leroy Halsey from the University of Alaska was hired by Richard Gage to, he funded two graduate students to build a finite element model to model. Again, they're not studying what happened. They're modeling a hypothetical situation.
Modeling of the World Trade Center. This is Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11. Yeah.
Oh, and they didn't model it. They apparently aren't capable of doing it. They don't have engineers capable of doing this, or they would have done it. So they hired an engineer to do it, and to do a model of WTC-7, because they wanted to prove it came down by fires. Well, the report couldn't prove that.
Was the model only about WTC-7 or the Twin Towers, too?
Correct. WTC-7.
Oh, just 7. Okay.
Just 7.
Great. Okay. Go on.
And because they keep saying it was, you know, controlled demolition, conventional controlled demolition. Conclusion of the report, I'll read the concluding statement. It says, in our conclusion, based upon the findings that the collapse of WTC-7 was a global failure involving near simultaneous failure of all columns in the building and not a progressive collapse involving the sequential failure of columns throughout the building.
Not a sequential collapse are the key words.
Right, as well as a near simultaneous. You've seen controlled demolition here, bang, 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 bang. You know, and this part starts falling, and bang, 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 and this part starts falling, and this falls in on that, and that falls in on that. It's a sequence.
It has to be sequential to even work.
Right, to control it.
Right.
And their conclusion was a near simultaneous failure of all columns in the building. In other words, dustification of all columns in the building.
Dustification being your term that you...
My term, yep.
Right,
and I've been describing it as dustification.
That you introduced in your book, Where the Towers Go, describing also, of course, the Twin Towers.
As well as Building 7.
Right, which came down later that day.
Yeah, I have a couple of frames from a video in my book that show WTC-7's demise, and is 1 second between the two frames, and you see a whole lot of this froth coming out of the building. So, in other words, you could tell it was dustifying before it started, you know, its final demise or the appearance of a drop, because there's a whole lot of frothy dust that just started coming out from everywhere in the building.
Almost like it was simmering before the full boil, so to speak.
Right, like getting rid of, and it turns out from the seismic signals, it could only be all of the building from the bottom two or three stories, or just the outside frame of the whole thing, and there's absolutely nothing inside the outer frame of the building, because it made almost, zero seismic signal. It was a slight bit of surface wave. There was no detectable S wave or P wave. In other words, a building did not slam to the ground, because that would generate waves that go through the earth. It only had surface waves. And you would get surface waves if you took a big, heavy-weighted building and lifted it up off the ground. It wasn't there anymore. So that would create surface waves. There were only surface waves. And that's inconsistent with a building slamming to the ground.
And the same thing can be said of the towers, I believe.
Exactly. Yep.
Hmm.
Precisely. So if you don't have any S or P waves, the building did not slam to the ground. But then you see all this dust around. Yeah, dust doesn't slam to the ground. The building was turned into dust. Most of it was turned into dust in midair, and then came down like snowflakes.
Now, with 9/11, or excuse me, with Building 7, was the nature of the rubble or the remains such as they were largely the same? Do we have as much of a photographic record? We got a very extensive photographic record of the aftermath.
There's pictures in my book where you look down the street and there's this little tiny rubble pile about a story or two tall that and it doesn't even cover the street over by the post office. The sidewalk is still bare in places. That's another thing that's incredible. The building goes, goes in this tight little pile. and then doesn't spill across the street.
Is there as extensive of a photographic record of Building 7 as the Twin Towers?
Not quite, but you have pictures going down the street, looking down the street, and you see there's not much, going out that spilled out in the street.
Do we know whether it had the same seemingly paradoxical situation where there was no discernible conduit, toilets, sinks?
Correct.
It apparently had that same...
And not only that, but like with controlled demolition, you have to prepare the building, including taking down all walls that aren't supporting walls, all windows, all toilets. And that's what you do for controlled demolition. This was not prepared for controlled demolition. You had people in the building. And there was Michael Hess, the attorney for the city, was trapped on one floor, and he was hanging out the window hollering for help. And he had to work at slide the window open to open it. So you could see that there were windows there. There were windows all the windows were intact around the building. Yet nobody was decapitated. There was no flying, window glass that chopped up anything. And that's why you worry about taking out all the windows, because they become projectiles and can slice anything around.
Hmm.
And the post office across the street didn't look machine gun fired. It would have if there was explosives in Building 7, blowing things up.
You'd have shards and chunks and pieces, yeah.
Yep. You blow up a building, it blows chunks. It doesn't blow powder. Powder that's smaller than anything seen before that you can get from grinding. It's even smaller than that.
Right, which, point of clarity, which you've described as something being taken apart at the molecular level, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, directed energy harness.
The atomic. I think of it as telling the sign of atomic bonds to reverse. so that all the atoms start flying apart.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to think about as a phenomenon. Imagine taking the binding properties at the molecular level and flipping them.
Think of when Tower 2 started tipping at the top and then it looked to go straight down. For conservation of angular momentum, if that tipping top was a rigid object, it would keep tipping and topple over. But it didn't. And that's an argument for it got dustified. If to maintain conservation of angular momentum, if that building turned into little particles, all those particles could keep rotating and the whole thing wouldn't then topple over.
Yeah, I've seen many disaster movies and real disasters
And things fall over.
where things would always topple as you would normally expect them to do, and that did not.
Right. And that's the argument that shows that it was dustifying, because to maintain conservation of angular momentum, all the little particles in the building kept rotating, but the whole thing wasn't rotating as a rigid object.
Very interesting. Here we stand at the cusp of the 20th year, and you've been bringing this out. When did you first bring this public and make this known? I forget exactly when your book was released, but how much time went by between 9/11, 2001, and when you first brought this out?
Well, 2004, when the presidential selection went belly up, because the 2000, they said that, well, we can't fix this election, but we'll fix it for the next one. The hanging chads and all that. And then 2004, the problem was even worse. And I thought, wait, the grown-ups aren't going to fix this. Whose job is it to fix it? It's our job. It's our country. It's our world. And that's when I decided I needed to start speaking publicly. But
Yeah.
I noticed it from the beginning, but I'll do my job and let the grown-ups do their job. I assumed that, the grown-ups knew what they're doing and all, but that's when I was learning that things aren't as advertised.
We got about a minute before the break. Very interesting. What is your website again?
Well, it's drjudywood.com, and my book website is wheredidthetowersgo.com. All in word, wheredidthetowersgo.com. It's a question that people should have been asking. Where did it go? Where'd all the rubble go?
As some surviving first responders also ask that very same question in a lot of the testimonials that you've got in your book.
Yep, exactly. It's like, they thought they came out the wrong door of the building because there should be a building in front of them.
It's like kind of like what the who the how the what happened here?
Yeah, and minds are not like Memorex. They try to fit lots of information. You can recover from brain injury and stroke because your brain interpolates what from information from outside sources. Like you're told, that the building's toppled over, and then you imagine seeing them toppling over, and that goes into your memory.
Yeah, very interesting. That certainly helps for propaganda.
Yep. And there was a guy who called in from Bankers Trust and to CBS. I recorded on my VCR, and he's talking about. Oh, well, good after the break.
Yeah, he's talking about, there's a cliffhanger. We'll be right back with Dr. Judy Wood.
Yeah.
These messages.
A simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the next segment of Stop the Presses here at RepublicBroadcasting.org. Excuse me, your host Mark Anderson coming to you live today on 9/11/2020. My guest is Dr. Judy Wood, author of Where Did the Towers Go? And you were saying, Judy, right before the break?
There's a guy in Bankers Trust who called into CBS to tell him that he just saw the building across the street explode. He could see beams of the building flying out. And he said, wait a minute. He reaches down, cranks up the volume on his radio. He goes, oh, it was an airplane? Oh, I saw parts of airplane wings coming out of the building.
Whoa.
He didn't realize at all what he was doing. That's how human brains work. They readjust the brain to fit what they think it's supposed to be. So that's what I mean by my memories are not like Memorex.
Yeah, that's interesting. So therefore, it requires discipline to be an independent thinker and to be able to resist that kind of pernicious programming. Certainly, it strongly suggests why the media and how the media infiltrates our normal common sense and our reason and basically short circuits what would otherwise be independent thought.
How many times did you hear him say collapse, the building collapsed, and you saw this building frothing up into dust?
Yeah, collapse is just where everything just drops to the ground, you know.
Yeah, fall down, go boom.
Yeah, and, or just falls apart, disassembles, yeah.
Yeah, and there's some slamming to the ground. There's no kinetic energy involved in this event. It was just frothing up in the dust. That's what triggered me that day, is I saw that, and I looked around the faculty conference room like, you know, something weird's going on here. And they looked at me like, you weirdo? They're already hooked in by the statements that it was a collapse.
You know,
they couldn't observe.
The implications of that are really powerful for coronavirus as well as 9/11.
Bingo.
we have this substitution of our normal inquisitive minds of this packaged, monopolistic, homogenized message. And, you know, all the media, this is the thing, all the media say the same exact things.
So about, it must be true.
About 9/11 and about coronavirus. Even Fox News, while it allows a more constitutional, somewhat more pro-American argument and editorializing, mainly with Hannity and Tucker Carlson. But during the day, Fox News, their claims about coronavirus are the same exact, specious, unsupported, monopolistic claims as all the other stations.
Yeah, and it's hard for people to think past that. it's kind of a dictatorship in the media. That there's no free thought, and you get shut down if you have any kind of free thought.
Yeah, the media is really the biggest part, I think, of the problem. Government agencies being what they be, what they are, you know, corrupt bureaucrats being who they are.
But something has taken over the media.
Yeah, the elite establishment that owns the media, but the media's message is really, if you had to single something out, is the most corrosive thing.
Oh, because for sure.
That's what hits everybody every moment of every day, whatever other factors might be involved.
And on 9/11, that was the first time I'd ever noticed it, that everything was in sync. They were talking about collapse. Every single one of them, they had the same story. They're all from the same watering hole. And that's what scared me. One of the things that scared me the most on 9/11 was that it was just all one story. And usually you have, when something happens, you have a reporter on the street holding his microphone out to somebody. Well, what was your experience? Did you know somebody on a plane? Or, you know, have you ridden on an airplane? Have you done this? Have you done that? You know, are you working these buildings? What do you think? But it was just all, you know, or just talking to a firefighter. What is your experience? They didn't get any real experiences in there. It was all canned stuff. And it was all like one-sided and not, you know, you'd think one station would be asking, you know, interviewing one guy, and another station would be interviewing another guy. That would be a normal thing.
And naturally you would get a variation in the.
Yep.
sequence of events and interpretation, et cetera, et cetera.
There actually was one good thing I have from...
We've got about 1 minute. This is a short...
Okay.
Yeah, just so
it's from a radio station in New York where the guy is talking, and there was another event, and he turns up the TV to hear it. You hear the TV play in the background, and the guy is showing this building with the airplane shape cut out, and the announcer says, an airplane shaped hole. And he gets his composure back. And that was real. He was laughing like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon because it was an impossible thing.
And exactly what was an impossible thing?
The airplane shaped hole in the building.
Oh, yeah.
And something just happened. He turned on the TV and looked at it. He broke out laughing.
Yeah, like Wile E. Coyote's, the shape of his face.
Yeah,
Profile.
So what a passage.
Right.
And then he had to get a hold of himself. It was a little giggle in his voice. And that was real. He was showing that he knew it was impossible.
Yeah, incredulity. Right. We'll be back with more from TV Wood right after these messages. And we'll be taking calls. Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. At 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And welcome back to the second half of Stop the Presses here on 9/11/2020. My guest, Dr. Judy Wood, author of Where Did the Towers Go? WhereDidTheTowersGo.com is the website where you can order her book by that name, a in-depth, detailed book showing the hard physical evidence of directed energy, that is free energy, being harnessed and weaponized, and the buildings being taken apart. Yeah. Molecular level.
Let me explain that, because a lot of people think, oh, that's space beams. That's how, you know, the derogatory thing that the opposition likes to put out there. And once you cloud somebody's mind, they can't see straight very well after that. But think of what happened in August of 1945 with Hiroshima. That was a demonstration of fuel for nuclear power plants. No, nuclear power plants didn't destroy Hiroshima. But the technology used provided evidence that you could use to make nuclear power plants. And so the evidence of what happened on 9/11 is evidence that there can be free energy. It's a technology that can be used for good, not just evil.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would have eventually got to that, I think. It is revealing that there is that accessibility of free energy. It was simply weaponized on 9/11. And I would think that that's been developed very carefully over a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm. I've got some evidence of that in my book, like Project Winter Haven and various things like that. Now, there's somebody who used to do that in their living room, John Hutchison. But people, you know, write him off as a kook, and then you have to go there and see it for yourself, which I have done. It does all the same evidence that we saw at the World Trade Center. But how many people around the world have gone to John Hutchison's living room and seen it demonstrated? Not very many, but here, just look at the World Trade Center, and there's the demonstration for the whole world.
Now, that's the Hutchison effect. And
right.
Describe what that is briefly.
What John Hutchison does is create a static field and within that interfere radio frequency signals. So it's a field effect, but then you can focus what you want something to happen wherever. And he just, you know, in changing the wave shape and so forth, he'd get different things happening. And we saw all of those things on 9/11. You know, beams curling up that with no evidence of heating. Oh, that's another interesting thing. The pictures came out after the book was published. But the Pope member came to visit the 9/11 memorial site. There's a Bible artifact in there that has what looks like a formerly liquid metal that's solidified on the pages, you know, dripping down. But the pages aren't burned. What does that tell you? That the liquid was not hot molten metal. It was liquid. It was liquefied, but it was not hot.
Right, and, which seems paradoxical to the average person, that's for sure.
Right, right. So that's why I think that Bible artifact is so important, that, you know, there's no way you can argue around that.
And where's John, that artifact? Where's that now, that artifact?
It's in the 9/11 Museum. And there's a video where the Pope came to visit, and he couldn't look at it. He just put his hands above it and looked down.
Oh, wow. Now, that I was not aware of. That one got past me. Although I'm aware in Kensington, Maryland, there is a fire department with a strangely curled beam out front, and the firemen don't even realize the anomaly they have on their head.
Right. Right. People are blinded to what they see. Like, how many people who look at the 9/11 Memorial and see, you know, formerly liquid metal solidified on a page and not, the page isn't burned? And ask, like, something else is going on here. They don't stop to realize that.
There's another one in New Buffalo Township, Michigan, about 15 miles from where I'm sitting. Assuming these are authentic beams that actually came from the tower and there's not any fakery going on, but it has less of it, but it also has the same strange curling, you know, kind of like a twisted noodle effect, not as much as the one in Kensington, Maryland.
Yeah, if you curled up a beam normally, like from overloading it, it would have you know, creases and other things in it. It would have some cracking. It wouldn't be so smooth. Some of these real tight bends, you'd have, you know, some buckling type things, you know, local buckling in it. But instead, you get these smooth curled up beams like curly noodles. You're right.
Yeah, like the pasta effect, you might say.
Yeah.
We do have some callers. I thought I might get some of this. On this day, let me see, in the order received, and it always takes a while to get to them. You keep talking. Mer from Wisconsin, is she still with us?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you so much, Judy and
Hello.
Mark. Oh, I was so hoping you'd be on Mark's show. I get so disappointed listening to all this same rehash and telling me how I need to agree with them. Please think for yourselves, people. And in just an hour ago on a show, Rudy Dent was on there, and he's, you know, had to be thermite. Well, that's a bright flash and hot, and that didn't happen. And he contradicts himself by saying he was standing knee-deep in dust, and it was silent.
Right, it's not burning up.
You know, he was there, a witness to it, and this is what he says.
Yeah, it's like the guy with the radio who changed the story from beams flying out of the building to airplane parts because he realized it was supposed to be an airplane.
Yeah.
And they don't realize they're doing that.
Right. And they try to make you do it. And it's the same thing with the media. This media is worldwide. I mean, right now they're pumping up China to come against us, no doubt. But what happened with this, I call it Divok, because that's reversing the spell, throwing it back at them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. South Dakota, Belarus, Sweden. Nothing happened. Why is that? Because they didn't believe it was true, and it's not. Virus, fiery, or debris. They don't fit the Koch postulates. They are just debris. They're your body fighting off something. You can't breathe them. Your saliva fights it off, and so does others. This is nonsense. They want us not to breathe. I mean, in the...
Well, it's actually, I think it's a psyop for something else, and I think the mask wearing is a psyop maintenance. It keeps people believing there's something.
This is an obedience ritual. I mean, this has been done for 2,300 years ago. You know,
yep, it's like a 9/11. They should replay on the TV set, buildings poofing up into dust and telling you it's a collapse. You know,
right,
every
and
year.
like you pointed out, just like the 1939, you know, Mars invasion. They played it straight through, no commercials, over and over again, you know, the 9/11 thing over
yes,
and over again,
yes.
And then never at all again. I mean, how come they didn't need commercials then? You know, because they were planning it in brains. And someone called me and told me it was on, and I know you said the same thing with your mother and your father, that he talked to someone, and she didn't know about it until she, or saw it on TV. If they see it on TV first, they're done, pretty much.
Yeah, it's how you're introduced to it. It tends to affect people. But few people, you know, when they're traumatized and feel in fear, few will know how to think then.
Right. Well, that's the whole idea, trying to keep us in fear, is so we won't come out of our reptilian bargain basement brains. You know?
And like with brainwashing, you keep playing it over and over and over again, then boom, stop.
Mm-hmm.
If it keeps going and gradually tapers off, people start going, wait a minute, I'm not buying that. People start thinking. But if you play it nonstop and then abruptly stop it, the memory is sealed in.
Yeah.
And then you give a booster shot once a year.
Right. And this thing right now with the warp speed and the vaccines and, oops, the trials are showing they're dangerous and made somebody's spine swell up. Well, the fact that Trump is pushing them, then the competition has to say vaccines aren't good. So, ding, ding, we win one.
Well, yeah, vaccines, my position is that we need diversity for survival of the human species.
Listen, it's poison. It's called a cow's blood vaccine.
Well, if some people want
injection,
it, fine. If other people don't want it, don't.
Don't put things in your blood. It has to go through your immune system.
But to not make it universal. For sure, just have somebody wants it. Correct, true. But I'm talking about for those who really believe in something like that, to allow others who don't want to do it to opt out, because for diversity, for survival of the species, you need diversity. And there's a great example of that. I don't know if you remember the thing about DES daughters. They gave DES to mothers to keep them from miscarrying from, I think, 1938 to 1972. It took them that many years to realize there was a problem because it didn't affect them immediately. It affected the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
When the child becomes an adult, the reproductive age, she started getting cervical cancer, breast cancer, thyroid problems, all sorts of stuff. And it took them a whole generation to realize that. Now, what would happen if there was something in a vaccine that caused sterility and you gave it to the whole planet?
Well, that's what they're trying to do. Depopulation is job one.
Yep. But let's say it causes sterility and it's unintended and everybody takes the vaccine, there goes the human race.
Well, you know, then somebody would be proud of themselves, unfortunately.
Yep. But for diversity, I mean, for survival of the species, you need diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, choice. I like to use the
people get confused by diversity because it's basically been used to mean chase down the last white person more recently.
Right. That's why I like to use the word, you know, to counter to what the game plan is, but it's the true meaning of diversity is to have a variety of things. If somebody really wants a vaccine, fine, that's your choice. It's not my choice, and we should have freedom of choice.
Yes, freedom of choice, but we shouldn't have. Well, I won't say what we shouldn't have, but we shouldn't have pharma sorcery running things, and they're running the media, they're running everything because it's money.
So what are we going to do about
group.
It?
What do we do about
what
it?
Well,
we can
mankind. Yeah.
We can make up some more words, like dustify, right? We can mancot, not just boycott. We can mancot.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go. I'm all for mancot, man. That has a lot more weight to it.
Yeah, right?
there's
a body behind it. Well, I guess you have other callers. I'll get off here. So nice to hear you. Oh, you just made my day. I was just feeling dejected because, like, I'm not going to listen to anything today because I know what it's going to be.
I sort of forgot what day it was this morning. Turned on the radio, went whoops, and shut it back off.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah, check it out through her website, her book, and a couple more callers in the order received. Time goes fast in radio. David from Massachusetts.
Oh, hello, Mark. Hello, Judy. Mark?
Hello, David.
Hey, David.
Hi, Judy. Hey, listen, just a quick call. The Vatican knows where the towers went. Because after the towers collapsed, Pope John Paul II spoke ex cathedra, and he said, from death thou came, and to death thou shalt return.
I don't see how that explains what happened.
Yes.
I guess you're not Catholic, Judy.
I think Mark would see a little bit of humor in that. So that's all. From death thou came, and to death thou shalt return. That's a basic Catholic teaching. So thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
Well, thanks, David. I'm not quite sure of the context, but your point well taken. There's no censorship on this show, and certainly not anywhere in RBN.
This is that song by Kansas, "Dust in the Wind." All we are is dust in the wind.
Yeah, evidently the powers that be like that song too, only in the wrong way.
Right.
Now we have Al from West Virginia. Thanks for hanging. If you're there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Judy, and. I knew Merv was excited to talk to you. I've never heard her interrupt somebody before, but she was very excited to talk to you. When I first seen the towers hit on the TV and so forth, I knew right then it was bogus right from the get go. I knew about jet fuel and kerosene and different things. I'm a machinist and a welder and so forth, but a little bit of metallurgy.
Well, so you know about thermite too.
Right, I know all about that. But wasn't it Tesla that proved that you could, with a certain frequency, that you can also make separate molecules from buildings and made a building? Wasn't either one of the scientists did that?
Yeah,
proved that you could bring down a building.
That like an earthquake generation thing at the right frequency could dustify something, but he decided not to let that information out not to move forward with talking about it because he was afraid it would fall into the wrong hands. And
right.
what I say about what happened on 9/11, already been there, done that. So now let's use it for good.
Right, and I know a little bit about that because I was called out one time to go recover a device that this man had created in another state, far away states, where he was trying to detect oil in the ground, and he was creating these tremors. And I was told to go recover the whole thing and him himself and the whole nine yards years and years ago.
It was basically
the same type of thing. It was, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of strange things happen. There is a natural version of this technology. It's called tornadoes. Think about what tornadoes do. And don't you think somebody has weaponized it? Actually, there's been some companies that have advertised having weaponized it.
Oh, really?
So they took that
I didn't
off.
Know that.
And yeah, then when after my... my QTAM lawsuit came out. They then took it off their website.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'll let you guys get back to your program. Thank you.
Thanks, Al from West Virginia. Uh-huh. Hey, Judy, go ahead and elaborate on that. I've always been fascinated. Maybe it's just me. I've watched too many Flash Gordon things over the years, but I've always been trying to imagine what this weapon, whatever harnesses the free energy, what it would look like, or does Hutchinson at least provide a window as to how it would operate?
Well, yeah, he creates a static field. Sometimes he used to use a Tesla coil, then he started using a Van de Graaff generator, but you create a static field, then within it interfere radio frequency signals of a particular shape of wave. And so think of it like your cell phone within the range of a cell phone tower. You don't care where that cell phone tower is. All you care is that you're within the field of it, and you have a working cell phone. You need both. And think of the field effects as being like the cell phone tower range. And then you have something within that, and that's what he would do, is interfere radio frequency signals within that. And actually, when they're first hooking up for digital TV in summer of 2008, because the switchover was February 2009, that summer there was a whole lot of, that's when all the super-duper tornadoes launched in the Midwest. You know, unintended consequences.
So, in other words, in so doing, they were creating static fields into which...
No, the static fields were part of nature, because, you know, it's Tornado Alley.
Oh, in Tornado Alley, and they were putting frequencies through that.
Right, the radio frequency transmissions, brand new radio frequency transmission towers.
For the digital switchover on television.
Yeah, one of those happened when, the birds that fell out of the sky, I think it was January 1st, one of those years the birds just suddenly fell out of the sky. That was between two of these towers, right when a weather system moved through.
Right around the time they were getting all that on board and firing it up.
Yep.
Yeah, and they, of course, increased the power and monopoly use of their digital TV propaganda. That's a whole nother show. So, right. So what is the effect when you have a static field? What does the static field do, whether you create one or you have a natural one? What does that do in interaction with the
well,
way?
Well, it's what happens. It's how the interaction works. There's different. That's why they call it the Hutchinson effects. They credited him to it or named it after him because he had this whole list of weird things that happen, depending on the exact shape of the wave and how it's done. He was just having fun playing. But sometimes you get levitation, and sometimes you get dustification. And think about what tornadoes do. And people think of it as a big vacuum cleaner. No, people have been lifted up by it, and they can breathe just fine.
How is a tornado similar to what Hutchinson does?
Well, it's the cross of the field effects. I'm not going to reproduce it or spell it out here, but I'll just say that you create a static field within that, interfere it with radio frequency signals, and change the wave shape, and see what happens. You know, weird things start going on.
Now, with a tornado, you have really low pressure, really low atmospheric pressure, and so...
And you have a static field.
Okay.
And that's another interesting thing about hurricanes. Like, there was a hurricane on 9/11 a few people know about. And outside of the hurricane, outside the bands, the outer bands, that could look like clear blue sky, but it's got a static charge to the atmosphere. And the three major airports around Manhattan all reported dry thunder that day. It wasn't raining, but they had thunder, lightning. So the air was charged there. And that's also how birds know to take cover when there's a storm coming. They sense that atmospheric change and the static environment, and they go take cover. Spiders pack up their webs.
So our tornado is generally similar in that you have energy interacting with a static field.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas that's done in nature, what Hutchinson does is recreate those phenomenon in a lab.
Yes. And someone could easily weaponize a tornado. I mean, it's and actually my first view of Building 4, you know, the north wing looked like it was cut off from the main body, which was gone. It was just, you know, dustified. But the north wing was still there, and you could look in, if you had binoculars, you could look in and see what was on somebody's desk. It was all just sitting there, like the building was sliced off with an X-Acto knife. And it reminded me of the aftermath of a tornado I saw in Topeka, Kansas, when that happened. Our family happened to be driving through there the next day, and I thought it was an apartment building, but I think it was a dorm.
Uh-huh. Have we lost Judy? Hello? Hello? I am not hearing our guest. Board ops, what is the situation? Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if she inadvertently muted her mic. You would hear us saying that, you would think. Oh, boy, I was just getting into something. I'm going to sort of fill in here. Our guest Judy Wood's audio got interrupted, and we're not exactly sure why. Probably a fluke on her end. We're not sure exactly where, though. But she was talking there, of course, about interactive energies, energies interacting in static fields, and how tornadoes have some general similarities to what is created in a lab, including by Professor Hutchinson, with whom she visited. And that, of course, points toward the kind of weapon, the nature of the weapon that she has evidence that was used on 9/11. Creating a static field, shooting energy into that static field to get particular effects for a particular outcome. And, of course, those that want to learn all the details and see all the pictures and the whole gallery of this can order her book, Where Did the Towers Go? And you can go to wheredidthetowersgo.com to order her book and get all the details. Again, lots of good pictures. Make up your own mind. Do your own research. This isn't telling you what to think. This is telling you how to think. And that's what Dr. Judy Wood, if she were with us right at the moment, would tell you. Do your own investigation. Learn to think for yourself. Be a problem solver. Don't go along just to get along with the deep state and the powers that be, the way they're bossing us around for the coronavirus thing and the way they've been changing our lives and giving us a new normal in the wake of 9/11. Of course, the new normal, one of the main parts of the new normal post 9/11, was the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, under that the TSA, and suddenly going on a plane would never be the same again. Before that, it was many other things that were less pernicious, less invasive, but mandatory seatbelt laws, all sorts of things that have become the new normal, but we can't let them push us into a new irreversible normal at this point with the coronavirus lie and all that propaganda. So thanks, Dr. Judy Wood. Sorry about the glitch. I don't know what caused it. We'll have her back sometime again soon. We'll see everybody next time. Have a great weekend. This is Mark Anderson at Stop the Presses. Have a great day.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.